Starting hour number two, welcome back, or good morning, good afternoon. I'm Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Programming update. We were supposed to have a conversation with Patrick Reed next segment, and now we're not. So he needs to reschedule. That'll happen. Meantime, telephone number is toll-free nationwide and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on the phones right now. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Still a great way to go. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Best tweets get read. You know that by now. Exceptional tweets get turned around and retweeted to 1.4 million plus. Email me if you'd like. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Go to my Facebook page. Got lots of stuff up there, including some of your calls. I've even got an Instagram page you might want to check out. Rome, I don't make bomb jokes. My joke's bomb. Signed, Rome's leather football helmet joke. Dan in Louisville. He's got a point now. Dan does have a point.
It really didn't affect what we were doing. You know, we still had to play, you know, regardless. And something you had to deal with. I think we did a good job of that.
It was throwback. I thought they were going to put you guys, like, in leather helmets and have you play that thing out in the parking lot or something. Lee Evans joining me on the program.
Thanks for picking me up, Lee. Thanks for picking me up, Lee. Hey, Lee, it's kind of understood. Like, when athletes come on and they make bad jokes, as long as they're not jokes about bombs at airports, I'll laugh. Anyway, more on that coming up in a moment. We are wide open on this Tuesday now. You have your telephone number. You know where to find me. As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who played three seasons with the Rams for his career. 59 receptions, 843 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. He was a third-round pick in 2013 out of West Virginia. Suffered a devastating, devastating injury, which we will get into. He participated in Marshall University's Pro Day last month. Stedman Bailey is my guest. Stedman, good morning. It's great to have you on the show. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's really good. Good, Stedman. Great to have you. Good to hear your voice. Now, you participated in Marshall University's Pro Day last month. Given all the work that you've done and everything you've been through, how good did it feel to be participating in a Pro Day and showing NFL teams what you can do?
Well, I actually got a chance to participate in two Pro Days. Marshall was the first one, and then I got a chance to do West Virginia, my alma mater, as well. And it actually felt really good, man, just to get a chance to show, you know, all the work that I've been putting in to get back to this point in front of, you know, NFL scouts. And I did extremely well at both Pro Days, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that every team should, you know, be able to look at me and say, wow, you know, he still has it.
Yeah, so when you look at the numbers, you ran a 4.3 40 at one of those Pro Days. Your hands look good, if not better than ever. So how pleased were you with your performance, and how did it feel to be back out there?
I was very pleased with my performance, man, just, you know, considering what I've been through over these past 2 years. But I did extremely well. I'm running faster than I was before the tragic incident. And, you know, that's, I mean, that says a lot itself. But, I mean, it felt great, man. I'm a football player. I still have so much love for the game. And, you know, just to have another opportunity to be able to showcase what I bring to the table meant a lot to me.
Stedman Bailey joining us. You know, you mentioned the tragic incident. Stedman, I understand that this is a really, really difficult conversation to have. So respectfully, I think to fully appreciate what it means for you even to be on the field again, to be in position to play in the NFL again, we really need to go back to November 24th, 2015. You went out to dinner with your cousin, your cousin's children, and a friend. The plan was that you were going to drive up from Miami Gardens to Atlanta for Thanksgiving the next day. What was the plan for that night?
Well, that night in particular, just an easy night. Wanting to, you know, grab some dinner with a cousin of mine, his kids, and one of my best friends. You know, just a regular day in the life of Stedman Bailey. You know, nothing out of the ordinary until the incident occurred when, you know, a car pulled up and sprayed a barrage of bullets, and I was hit twice by, like, almost 30 shots were fired or so.
Stephen, what happened was your friend was changing for dinner, so you and your cousin and his kids were waiting in that SUV outside, and then as you point out, somebody pulls up and opens fire. Your cousin's son saw your wounds and screamed out, "Stead's dead, Stead's dead." Your cousin, who had been hit multiple times, somehow managed to get out of the SUV, approached you, punched you in the chest, and then woke you up, and he said, "You were shot in the head. Don't move. We're going to get you to the hospital." And the call dropped. All right, so Stedman Bailey is my guest, and as I mentioned, this is a really difficult conversation to have. I'm going to try and reestablish a connection with that phone call. But for those of you who know that story, he was shot, and he played 3 years for the Rams, and he's made it all the way back. He participated in those two pro days, one at Marshall, one at West Virginia, and is in a position to make a return to the NFL. And now I got him back. Yes, Stead, sorry about that. I lost you for a moment. But do you remember, I was laying out and you talked about what happened when that car pulled up next to you and somebody opened fire. Do you remember what happened after that?
Yes, I do. I remember everything, man. As crazy as it sounds, you know, you would think about the injuries of being shot twice and think, you know, yeah, he should be dead. He would probably think the same about, you know, my cousin who suffered 11 gunshot wounds. But by the grace of God, we were both coherent, you know, throughout the whole time. My cousin Antoine was able to take control of everything that was going on with pretty much leading my friend Terrence to drive us to the nearest hospital. He was able to talk to his kids, you know, to keep them calm and as much as he could. I mean, they were really in panic mode, but we both, you know, knew at the time, you know, we had just suffered something very horrific, but at the same time, you know, we were still able to look around and, like I say, be coherent and, you know, make our way to the hospital without dying, I guess.
Stedman Bailey, my guest. Stedman, what's amazing is, the whole thing is absolutely unbelievable to me. It's unfathomable. But the fact is, one bullet struck you near the right temple. It went through your head. It exited above your eyebrow. There was bone. There was blood. There was cartilage all over. Stedman, your cousin said, quote, "Listen, I saw a hole in his head. I could look through his head. It was like something that wasn't real. It was like Hollywood." I mean, I want to be as respectful as I can. You should be dead right now. A centimeter in any different direction. You and I are not having this conversation. How do you explain you surviving something like that?
Well, I'm a big believer in God. And, you know, for me to go through something like that and, for one, you know, not even feel any pain, it just, you know, truly lets me know that he had to be, you know, somewhere there with me and my cousin that night. I don't really know no other way to explain it. You know, I know that I myself, you know, I take great care of my body, and I'm sure my body has been through many different forms of trauma with the kind of working out I do. So I remember the doctors telling me that that was a big part of me, you know, being able to survive everything. You know, my body was going through trauma, but it felt that before. So it was able to respond in a way where I was still functioning very well.
Stedman Bailey, my guest. That's the thing. I mean, because you had worked so hard to get to that point, it must have helped you in that situation. But one doctor did describe what happened to your skull. He said it would be like if you dropped an egg on the sidewalk. That doctor said you might not walk again. You might have trouble speaking again. When you first heard things like that from the doctor, what was your reaction?
Very tough. Very tough to hear. Here I am, 25 years old, and, you know, sometimes life just really throws some crazy things at you. And I've been through tons of adversity throughout my whole life. So I didn't really let it get to me. You know, I heard the reports, and the way my brain was functioning, I just told myself, like, that just can't be true, you know. Devastating news, of course, you know, for them to say, oh, you may not be able to talk, you may not be able to walk. I'm 25 years old. Well, at the time, I was 25, so that would be pretty hard to deal with if that was the case. But I just, you know, I'm a person that I don't really take negativity and, you know, just put that in the forefront of my mind. I try to live a positive life and, you know, tell myself that I can do what people think I can't. And those were just the very first two obstacles that I knew I would get past, which was talking first and then walking, you know. It's just as simple as right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. And that's all I thought about when the doctor said, like, you can't walk. I'm telling myself in my mind, it's easy, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. But, you know, I understand the doctors in most cases know exactly what they're talking about. They're experts at what they do. But at the same time, you know, I just, like, nah, that's not going to be the case with me, you know. And I set that out in my mind to prove those people wrong. And the doctors have yet to be right about the report of what should have happened.
Stedman Bailey, my guest, they said to you, you may not walk again. You went from not walking to jogging to running. And then 5 months after the incident, you were back on the field running routes. But you didn't stop there. You've been working out like crazy to continue to get into shape, to work your way back into an NFL team. Why was it so important to you to play football again?
Just realizing, you know, as far as when I think about what all it has taken for me to even make it to the NFL, a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a lot of long days of training, and you know, extremely blessed and talented to play. So just the few signs of me being able to walk within like a week or two and then jogging before I actually exit the hospital, those were little signs to me to say, you know what, Seth, you probably can really do the unthinkable. You know, the doctor said you wasn't going to be able to talk. That wasn't true. They said you wouldn't be able to walk. That wasn't true. So why not keep going? And as far as the big picture, I said to myself, everything in life is a process. So I knew it would be quite a while for me to get back to the physical shape that I was in prior to the incident. But I didn't let that get me down or anything. I just said, you know, I take it one day at a time, just like I've been living my life. And, you know, just continue to press forward. And like I say, those little signs just let me know that, you know, I feel like I really have a defined purpose on earth, and that's to play ball again.
Stedman Bailey joining me for a few more moments. So when you get that opportunity to play ball again, have you thought about what you might say to your teammates before a game, what a message to them might sound like?
Not necessarily. I feel like, you know, with any team that I would have the opportunity to join, everybody knows my story, and I'm sure it's inspiring to millions of people. And that's another goal of mine, you know, not just to get back on the field, but, you know, to inspire many people, because I understand that life is tough and many different circumstances for everybody. But, I mean, that doesn't determine what you as a person can do. You know, adversity is going to knock on everybody's door, and I feel that, you know, you can really show your character by how you respond to it. And, you know, I've been determined to just show the world that there's nothing that can stop me.
A final thought then. I mean, you're right. That league, everybody in that league knows your story, knows what happened to you. So what kind of a player in person would an NFL team be getting if they bring in Stedman Bailey?
Well, they'll be getting a guy that presents a lot of positive energy. I have a very vibrant spirit that, you know, I just like to be positive with everything that I'm doing, whether it's lifting a teammate up, you know, trying to help them with personal issues that they may be going through in their personal life. But I believe, you know, I bring wisdom, life experience, a committed effort to, you know, be the best version of myself on the football field. And I'm just an all-around team player. You know, even if it was something like playing special teams or being a reserve receiver, I would, you know, be the best that I could be, which a reserve, I don't really see that being the case. I know what I bring to the table, so, I say that with confidence that whatever team was to sign me, I would be knocking on the door of the starter, that I'm back.
Yeah, it, just to be where you are right now, to me, is just absolutely amazing. But the fact that you are participating, competing, had a couple of great pro days and looking to get back, just takes that thing to a whole nother level completely. Stedman Bailey, our guest. Stedman, I know that's not an easy conversation to have. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate you sharing that message and that story in the conversation. Really, really good to have you on the show. And I'll look forward to seeing you in the NFL once again and look forward to talking to you about it again.
Yes, sir. You'll see it soon.
Good, man. I know. I believe it. I definitely believe it. Stedman Bailey. I do believe that. An incredible story. Stedman, thanks so much. Have a great day. Shot in the head in November of 2015 and told by doctors, you might not walk again, you might not talk again. And just completed two pro days and looks great. 1-800-636-8686. Your thoughts on what you just heard. As I mentioned, we had Patrick Reed set up for the next segment, but he needs to reschedule, meaning that segment is now open for you. Hit us up. You've got your telephone number. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Kevin Sumlin will be joining me in hour number three. I talked about the Pats. I talked about a bomb joke at the airport. Baker Mayfield getting ready for the NFL. I also mentioned that at this point, everybody wants to know exactly where they're going to end up. Where they will be drafted, when they will be drafted, where they'll live, where they'll work. But you can't find out, right? Until the draft itself. Or maybe you can. Baker may have found a loophole. All of that still ahead. And your telephone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Kevin Sumlin coming up next hour, and we are wide open right now. And again, my thanks to Stedman Bailey. That's not an easy story or an easy conversation to have. He was shot in the head. Coming up, today's Podcast Tuesday. Before I lose track of that, Podcast Tuesday, Clint Malarchik is my guest. If you're a hockey fan, you know him. You know his name. He also has an unbelievable story to tell. If you know him and that story, you certainly want to hear that. If you do not know him or that story, you certainly want to hear that. He suffered one of the most devastating injuries literally in the history of sports, in any sport. An injury that could have killed him on the field of play. And not only did not, but he made it back within 2 weeks. So Clint Malarchik is going to be my podcast guest. Podcast Tuesday dropping a little bit later on today. And I'm not going to give it away right now, but you tune in and find out whether or not the voicemail jumped the week. That thing's week to week. I mean, we're all day to day, but that thing truly is week to week. Dear Rome, Stedman freaking Bailey, epic interview. That story literally sent chills down my spine. The word miracle is used too often, but his life truly is one. To work to get back after the shooting should be an inspiration to everybody that there is no such thing as impossible. Thank you for the interview, Jim. I'll be rooting for Stedman to make it all the way back to the field. Chad on the North Coast. War Hawk being inspired by Stedman to get back to daddy duty. Yeah, I don't think you want to make that comparison. One guy was shot in the head and told that he probably would never walk again or talk. One guy threw out his back trying to put on a shoe. You probably don't want to compare those two guys. Not only did he make it sound like he was back, he fully expects to be in the NFL. And he said, while I'll accept any role whatsoever, he certainly made it sound like, yeah, I'll accept that role. I'll play special teams. I'll be a reserve. I'll do whatever they need me to do. But I know I can do better. I know I can do more. Just give me the opportunity. He ran a 4.3. He ran a 4.3, and as I mentioned, his hands looked as good as they ever looked. So he had a couple of pro days that he was happy with, and he ran a 4.3. A guy who was told that he probably or might not ever walk again ran a 4.3. I don't know. I mean, these guys like that are just different guys. If I get shot in the head, I'm not sure that I see those possibilities going forward. I mean, you may say, well, what choice do you have but to stay and fight? I get that. But a guy that was told that he may not walk again, walked, then jogged, then ran, then was running pass routes within 5 months. and had a couple of pro days, and looks like he's going to get another shot. Rome, that was extremely inspiring. Keep those interviews coming. Stedman had a hole in his head, and he fought all the way back to pro day. I could feel his will and determination. Makes me want to rise up and work harder. Awesome. Straight up awesome. Yeah, I mean, a couple of reasons why we do those interviews. Number one, you want positive things. You don't want to keep banging away. You know, and I don't do it here, but like, hot take, hot take, hot take. Bullcrap, garbage, move the needle, clickbait.
Garbage.
And you want real stories. Real stories with real people and real positivity. How do you not hear that story and think, man, I'm a slacker. I'm worthless. I'm weak. I could do so much better. This guy was shot in the head. He had a literal hole in his head. I mean, the description of it is absolutely amazing. Let me read this back one more time to you. It went near his right temple, through his head, exited above his eyebrow, bone, blood, cartilage all over the place. And his cousin's description was, and I quote, "I saw a hole in his head. I could look right through his head. It was like something that wasn't real. It was like Hollywood." You know, like the Terminator or like Arnold. Like somebody blew a hole in Arnold's head and you could look right through it. Except this really happened. And his cousin was looking at him and saw a hole in his head. And how about everybody who was there when it happened? Like his cousin who had been hit multiple times, somehow got out of the SUV, approached him, punched him in the chest, which woke him up. And he told Stedman, "You were shot in the head. Do not move. We're going to get you to the hospital." And these guys somehow maintain their composure. And they get there. He's diagnosed, comes out, and then begins the fight back. Jeff Payton tweets, "Wow, what an amazing interview with Stedman Bailey by you, Rome. Such a powerful story. I wish Stedman all the best." I'm so glad he told that story. That is not an easy conversation to have. I'm so glad he came on and told that story. Freddie Kubanek tweets, "Interviews like the one you just had with Stedman are why I listen to your show. I wish Stedman all the best, both personally and professionally. Thanks, Jim." Man, I wish more of you felt that way. I wish more of you listened to the show for that reason, as opposed to listening to the show because you think that I think that it's okay to call celebrities fat. Hey, but everybody uses this show for different ways, different reasons, right? We've got range, and I can do a lot of things, and then you do a lot of things that I don't want you to do, but I seemingly cannot stop. This show has a little something for everybody. All right, when we come back, Journo on Journo Crime. I normally never talk about other shows, other media people. I'm not sure that I'm going to. Baker Mayfield may already know ahead of time where he's going to end up, and I'll tell you why that is. Tony Finau, speaking of injuries, we knew this guy was jacked up. We didn't know how badly. And then there were pictures online. Now we know exactly what this guy played through. All of that still ahead. And Kevin Sumlin. But first, here is a sports update.
Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. As tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade, it helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Janet Rome listening in the car. And if she's listening, I know she's listening on Sirius XM channel 206. Janet told me, and I did not know this, she said that she was in the gym and she worked out, not worked out with, but met Stedman Bailey a couple of weeks back, who was doing his work here in Southern California, or some of his work in Southern California, and that she thought he was great. She said he was a tremendous person. And an amazing story. What's up, Jano? You got Jano, you got Jimmo,
got the entire Rome family doing what they do, coming off spring break, and we're open right now. All right, so what we have now is 17 days until the NFL draft. It's got to feel like an eternity for all these guys doing this work. 17 days. And especially to a guy like Baker Mayfield. And he was one of the guys who was not going to wait to find out where he's going to live, where he's going to work, what system he's going to end up in, who his coach is going to be. You know, I mean, millennials. I hate to be the old man. Get the hell off my porch. But millennials. Millennials, man. 17 days feels like 17 lifetimes to a generation that is used to getting what they want when they want it. So I see the kid working. And again, Baker, my man, I'm not one of those guys in the national media that you want to put on your phone in a screenshot. I'm team you. I like you. I like you. I like your attitude. I like your fire. I like your ability to read defenses, even coming out of the system that you did in college. I think you've got a good enough arm. I'm not worried that you're not tall enough. I like this guy's vibe. I really do. But I can see where he'd want to know where he's going to end up, especially since nobody wants to get suited and booted and then sit there on TV with a bunch of cameras pushed up against your grill only to fall out of the first round. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to waste their freshest threads on that. Nobody wants to get memed or put on a loop that's going to play for the next 1,000 years every time the draft rolls around, because every single year it happens to somebody. And you know what's killing these guys? Not knowing if it's going to happen to them. Not knowing where they are going to live, where they are going to work. So, why wait to find out where you're going to end up when you can find out and know right now? Right? Why wait if you don't have to? Why wait for a draft night when the NFL can bring in a real-life psychic to the combine? So, of course, Baker stopped for a reading. What kid his age wouldn't? I mean, really, most people, who wouldn't? And the fine folks at the league rolled tape on all of it. This particular psychic's name is Leanne Cornell. And Leanne senses Baker's skepticism right away. You know, this is a guy who, frankly, and I don't know him well. I don't know him at all. I really don't know him at all. I've never even spoken to him. But he looks to me like a guy that isn't quick to trust others. So why the hell would he trust somebody he knows nothing about? Why would he trust a psychic? Well, really, why would any of us? But she senses this. I'm sure it's not the first time she has felt this. Hey, I know she knows how he's feeling. She's a freaking psychic. Of course she knows how he's feeling. So she senses it. She knows that she has to move quickly to gain his trust or risk losing him altogether. So she comes out firing, perfectly nailing his character with the kind of insight that you can only get from a trained professional fortune teller.
You are real high energy. You can usually run circles around people and get things done while they're just talking about it. So if people are not productive, it drives you up the wall. Okay.
Okay. Damn. Oh, mind blown. Did you hear what she said about him? How the hell do you know something like that about a guy you know nothing about? I mean, freaking uncanny. Goosebumps. Let me say that again. Let me just repeat what she just said to him. You are real high energy. You can usually run circles around people. When people are not productive, it drives you up the wall. I mean, damn. You know why I say that? Because most quarterbacks I know are low energy. Most quarterbacks I know enjoy the company of slugs and people who are lazy and who don't grind and don't compete and don't care if they win or lose. Quarterbacks love that about their teammates. In fact, the best quarterbacks I know are usually the lowest energy people who surround themselves with equal people or people with equally low energy or even worse. And mostly they like to roll with people who aren't motivated. So credit Leanne the psychic for not wasting anybody's time, for not wasting any time convincing Baker that she is the real deal and that she's worth listening to. Now she's got his attention. Now he knows that she's about the real stuff. What else is in that deck of cards? Let's turn over a few more and see what comes up.
This shows an offer coming to you. pretty quickly here, and it's where you're planning to go. It looks like your plans are going to actually play out.
Whoa, what? She turns the card over. This shows an offer coming to you pretty quickly, and it's where you're planning to go. Dang, she did it again. I mean, is there anybody out there who doesn't believe in the dark arts after hearing that? An offer is coming to Baker Mayfield soon. How the hell could she know that? How would any of us know that? Well, aside from the fact that everybody knew this guy was coming out months ago and is projected as a top five quarterback. And the fact that she knew that an offer was coming soon, wow. How do you do it, ma'am? Maybe somebody reminded her that the draft was in 2 weeks. Yeah, damn good thing this guy sat down for this reading. Otherwise, he'd be tripping so hard. What am I going to do with my life? Is anybody going to offer me anything at all? And when? Now he has all the answers. Now he no longer has to sweat it. Man, this guy's got to be so relieved. He's got to feel so good right now. I am going to get an offer, and it's going to happen soon. And how does he know? Because Miss Cleo or Miss Cornell or whoever she is just laid that out for him. She laid out this cat's life for him. And at the end of this totally insightful and astonishing session, Baker draws a card to reveal what team is going to draft him.
Arizona Cardinals. If this turns out to be true, there's going to be some weird stuff going around here.
All right.
All right, awesome.
You're good.
Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, in all seriousness, that is her slickest move. The slickest move of the entire time. First off, she lets him choose the card. So it's not like she's wrong if the Cardinals don't take him. He's wrong because he picked it. And let's be real. Pulling a name from a hat is just as effective as sitting down as a professional mock drafter and trying to figure out where these guys are actually going to go. There's no penalty for being wrong with draft predictions. If there were, about 50 guys in the industry would be on the streets every single year. And yes, I did see the part where she predicted that Baker will be around a Super Bowl at some point in his life. Around a Super Bowl. What the hell does that even mean? To be around a Super Bowl? Like in the Super Bowl and playing? Or in the Super Bowl on the sideline as a backup? Or in the same city watching from a bar? Or on Radio Row for 2 days pimping avocados or something? Around a Super Bowl. The only thing more ridiculous than the reading where we learn that Baker is high energy and doesn't like lazy people and is going to get drafted in a couple of weeks are the responses on Twitter. You want some comedy? Go check out these eggs fighting over a psychic reading. It's amazing. In the meantime, Baker, my man, go get yourself to David August and get measured, bro, because the NFL draft is in 2 weeks. And I'm pretty sure we all just found out through the magic of fortune telling that there's a really good chance that you're going to get selected. And judging from the look on your face and your reaction, apparently you had no idea whatsoever. You know, Josh Rosen right now is sitting over a Ouija board. You know it. My man Sam Darnold is shaking up that magic eight ball with the blue water inside. You know, he's shaking this thing up. Let's see. You're going to get a job soon. But I knew they had a lot of weird stuff at that combine. I didn't know they had that. I didn't know they had psychics running through there. But now you do. I don't know. It's kind of in my head. Every day on the 405, when I drive back to and from work, there's that one little psychic shack right up against the freeway. Neon sign in the window. Palm in the eye, always open. At the Cleam tweets, Jim, I was also a skeptic until my psychic nailed that I didn't like spending an afternoon at the DMV. Right? How do you not? At that point, you just put him on retainer. At that point, you see him every single day. What's going to happen to me today? What's going to happen to me? No way. How did you know I hate the DMV? And Rich in the 970 tweets, psychics are about as genuine as a $3 bill. unwore those scam job kooks. I've got nothing against them. Hey, man, if you want to throw down your money and you believe in that sort of thing, you go right ahead. It's not their fault. It's not their fault you're giving them money. Hey, what if somebody gave you money, Rich? What would you say? Here's money. No, thank you. Not a fan of money. What would you say, Rich? And in defense of psychics, I know some people that are really smart that I really admire. I know people smarter than me. Believe it or not, there are a couple. I know people smarter than me, more talented than me, that go to psychics and believe it. Rome, let me try my hand at being a psychic. Parody Larry will make a terrible phone call in the future. Calling in the 309. Rome, I am not a fan of psychics, but I do love psychs. Regards, the Mississippi Queen. Regards, the Mississippi Queen.
My favorite thing about the Grove, hands down, is the alcohol. It's not always free, but it's always there. So, yeah, alcohol, hands down. Answer your question. Next question.
Okay, but you can get that at the Square, right?
My favorite thing about the Grove is getting to meet people and see everyone from other schools that you know, and you run into people, and it's... I don't know, it's just fun. It's like a big party. And
well, to me, it sounds like you don't care that much about school spirit.
I love school spirit, but, like, let's not get me wrong. Like, I wouldn't have school spirit without a couple of vodka waters.
Mississippi Queen is so great. I mean, I'm not trying to be creepy about this. I'm just talking about a rap. The Mississippi Queen is incredible. Hey, let's not get this twisted. I love my college. I have school spirit. I just have more school spirit after I've smashed a couple of vodkas.
Hotty toddy, gosh almighty, who the hell are we? Hey, flim flam, bam bam, Ole Miss, bah damn. My favorite thing about Ole Miss is the education that I receive here. Psych.
Psych. I'm going to play that soundbite for my son. We're trying to find a college, right? Hey, Jake, yeah, I really know you liked Missouri this past weekend. And he did. He loved Mizzou. He doesn't know about the Mississippi Queen and the Grove. Psych.
Psych.
Nick in the land of the Norsemen. War hot toddies. Alvin, do you even have a date on that? I wonder how long we've been playing that soundbite of the Queen. Queen's probably settled down, married, has kids, settled into the life. Maybe not. That's only 5 years old.
Psych.
And one more email directed at Mr. Sparrow. I foresee great fortune in your future. This month, you will overcome adversity, break through your inner barrier, or you'll make a damn fool of yourself like always. Psychics, horoscopes. Jeff from the 919. War Sparrow featuring one of those old folks. Walk in bathtub commercials. Dude, when that door swings open to the tub, that's you, Hawk. Except they're 98 and you're 30. Hawk just had a really relevant question. When the door swings open, how is it that the water doesn't run out of the tub? Great question, Hawk. Stay strong. I don't know. How did you jack up your back putting on a shoe? Third hour, straight ahead. Telephone call is coming up and a conversation with Kevin Sumlin. Don't go anywhere.